be preaching this passage. I preached it actually about 10 years ago, about the same time of the year. And I know that all of you were eagerly waiting to get back into the letter to the Hebrews, but I'm doing this as I'm still going through the process of dealing with these kidney stones over the week, and have been in much pain and not able to study as much as I would like, but we will be getting back into that next week. As I looked at some of these messages that I have done before, I realized that some things in our lives change quite quickly, and I was thinking, I brought one with me, but I brought my old cell phone from about 15 years ago. And I was thinking about that because I was fiddling with it this week. And all the great things that it does. Well, they're not so great by today's standards. In fact, you look and you laugh and you say, did I find this really exciting back then? These things change. And the things that we look at today and we say, oh, well, that's such a cool app. That's wonderful that it can do that. People 15, 20, you will be 15 or 20 years from now. If God leaves you here, you'll be looking and you'll be laughing, saying, well, that was good for back then, but look at what we have now. So some things change while others do not change. They are timeless, as we would say today. And I believe that this Word of God was all of the Word of God, but especially this, because it speaks to us of our character and our need for constant observance and constant correction in how we live our lives and how we present ourselves to those around us who aren't Christians. So I'm starting reading in verse 17, because it's just a wonderful extra couple of verses, and I'll be reading down through verse 27 in James 1. God's Word here again reads, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and remnant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we again thank you for this time as we come together, and we pray as we dig a little deeper into these verses that you would help us again to gain a greater understanding of the goodness of what you have brought to us in our lives as we have been saved through the the work of Christ, but also that you would show us areas of weakness, Lord God. Show us those areas that we have neglected, that we have not taken the time to build up, those areas that are constantly under attack, because Satan knows us very well too. But we thank you that in spite of the attacks, that you are able, through your power, your strength, and your word of instruction, to make us strong and to make us good and faithful witnesses to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. James here in this writing reminds those early Christians, as well as us, that the things that he is about to tell them are already things that they know. In the New American Standard, it reads this way: you already know this, or this you know. And we need to keep that in mind as we look at these things. How common this is in us, and as we look at many of the writings of Scripture, where they keep telling us, you already know these things. You're aware of this. You have heard this said before. Because nothing that I say to you is anything new. And if it is something brand new, check mark that and then look into it later, because it could be very dangerous and very wrong. We're being told the same things over and over again, much like a mother is with her child when they're little, when they're very little. You have to keep telling them. Well, sometimes they don't listen well, and even when they get very big, you have to keep telling them, clean up your room, make your bed. Hopefully, after a while, they get it. And you walk in there one day, and the room is cleaned, and the bed is made, and you go, it only took like 10,000 times to say that before they got it. But that's how God is with us. And he treats us like children. Because we are. We are his children. And I don't care how sophisticated or intelligent or theologically sound you think you are still lacking in some areas in your Christian walk. You may look at your life some week and think you've done really good that week. Unless you look real closely, and then you'll see. And you'll see some of the things that God has seen. And there will be many of the things that God has seen that you will not even notice. There are a few things that we should give our attention to in these verses. First, we are to be quick or swift to hear. The Greek word akouo, acoustic is the word. To hear or to listen. And as we look at that, I want us to look again at this verse in 23 through 20. At verse. No, that's not 23. Oh, I'm sorry, 23 and 25 in this same chapter. And then we must also consider how it is that we hear and how our heart is at the time. Deuteronomy 29:18-20 reads, beware lest there be among you a man or a woman or a clan or a tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God, to go to serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. One who, when he hears the word of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. The Lord will not be willing to forgive him, but rather the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will smoke against this man. And the curses written in this book will settle upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from underneath heaven. So when we hear, it's just not a matter of letting it go in, but hearing and listening, pay attention, and then putting it to action in our lives. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise man hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. There's a contrast, and that's why I love the Proverbs. It's a contrast between that which is good and that which is evil. John 5:24-25 reads, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And remember, this is our job. This is your job. It's not just my job. To take the Word of God to the world around us, to those that God brings into our life, those that God draws to us through one means or another, whether it be in the family, because there are many of us who sit here who have people in our families that we love, that we care about, who still do not know the Word of God. And not because they've never heard it brought to them, but they heard it, but they did not pay attention, they did not listen, they did not understand. I read that passage in John 5 because in two verses he says two times, truly, truly. And again, when the Lord says truly, truly, he's saying, pay attention. Listen to what I'm saying. So, we need to be quick or swift to hear. We need to be slow to speak. This is not one of my great strengths, as anybody who knows me knows. And many of you may struggle with that too. But it is a wise man who is slow to speak. Proverbs 10:19-20 says, when words are many, transgressions are not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. Again, slow to speak and thinking about what you're saying, kind of following along with what we've been learning in Sunday school. We need to learn how to answer others. I'm not even going to say to answer the fool. We need to learn how to answer others in their foolishness. Sometimes it means just being quiet for a little bit and thinking about something rather than blurting it out, again, which I've been far too guilty of at times. So we need to be quick to hear. We need to be slow to speak. But then it goes on further and it says, slow to wrath or anger. And the word there, again, is one that you've heard before. And I don't usually say Greek words more than two of them in a sermon if I say that many. But this orge, where our word orgy in our society comes from. It's an act of madness of sorts and just a concentrated thrust of craziness taking place all at once. Anger is hard to deal with. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but many of us struggle with anger. Many pastors that I've talked to who don't seem like it. When you sit and talk with them and they open themselves up, they'll say, I struggle, I battle with this all the time for various reasons. Much of it is because It's an area where Satan can easily attack us. And in our own age, our age of political craziness that's going on out there, anger sets in on both sides. And we, in our own nation, we've seen many years ago where anger over one issue or another led to such madness that we had a civil war that killed so many in this nation. And we need to be praying that we don't go into such a thing right now, but we need, as Christians, as men and women of God, to be slow to wrath or anger. Proverbs again. Proverbs is full of all kinds of good wisdom now, isn't it? It's just, it's there. And how many of us turn there? It's like, this is my favorite book. And it should at times be our favorite book to look at. Proverbs 14:17. A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. A man of quick temper acts foolishly. How many of you have gotten angry at one time or another with somebody and said something that you wish you could just take it back? I wish I could erase that, go back in time. I'd do anything to change it. Well, what you can do is when you struggle with that, hold it back. Don't say what you want to say. Think about it. You may want to say it later. Say it in a better attitude. But we don't have to live in that land. We don't have to be like that. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Do not be quick in your spirit to become angry. For anger lodges in the hearts of fools." You see how dangerous? Did you notice also that there were two things that we are called to be slow at here? One thing to be quick at, two things to be slow at. Because our natural inclination usually goes against what's being said here. We don't listen quickly. In fact, we have to be told, as I've mentioned, time and time and time again, and then we get it. And sometimes we get it and we think, what a wonderful thought I just had. Like you did that on your own. No, you didn't. You had heard it time and time again. I do that sometimes, I think. Did I make that up, or did I hear that from another speaker, another minister at some point? Slow to anger one, I say, and I say it with urgency, is especially necessary when we come to a time when hearing something you do not want to hear, and you get easily distracted by your own resentment, by your own ill temper or hatred, or sometimes vengeance, and sometimes your just unwillingness to hear what the Word of God is and has been teaching you. Proverbs 15:8 reads, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." Do you get what it's saying? Slow to anger. Slow to expressing that wrath that might be built up inside of you. Instead, holding it back. That's what we are called to be as men and women of God. Verse 20, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." It continues on here. Anger is a big issue in the Bible. It really is. "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And too often we find ourselves saying, well, mine's like a righteous anger. And let's be honest, you know when it's a righteous anger and when it's not. And when it is, you usually don't have to proclaim it as such. But that's the struggle we have. Psalm 37, 7 through 9 reads, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Wait patiently for Him. "Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil." The wrath or anger of the Christian man The wrath or anger, the Christian man does much to prevent the righteous actions of God from being understood and grasped by sinful men. For it becomes quite difficult for us to lay a hold of the truth that the judge of all things is essentially moral and is himself indeed moral and holy and does only what is right, as if his servants, as we are, we sometimes fail to show that righteousness in our own conduct. And remember, we are supposed to be reflections of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called Christians. Again, the idea is little Christ-like men and women. We are to be like Christ, and so we are to set that. It says, therefore, in verse 21, therefore put aside all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. There's the therefore. Remember, whenever we get to the therefore, it's leading us to reflect back. Therefore, because of these things that have just been said, putting aside or taking off is what it would be. Putting away all filthiness. It reminds us of Ephesians 4:20-24, where it says, but that is not the way you learned, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So Ephesians even carries this on further, where it doesn't just say what to put off, but also clearly what to put on. Here we've been told to put off anger. We've been told to put off acting or speaking too harshly before it brought us here. And every part of, not just some of the remainder of the wickedness or worldliness that is in you, it is necessary for any real spiritual growth for the Christian, whether they be a new Christian or a Christian of 30 or 40 years, to do this. It's not something that we are called to wait upon God to do for us either. Sometimes we pray the prayer, oh God, please take away my anger from me. Change my heart. We should pray for him to change our heart, and he does. But part of that change of our heart is what he has told us already that we need to be doing, and that we need, you need, to be making that transformation in part in your life. He's working it. He's given you the strength to do it. Where other times you may not have been able to hold that tongue, but now you can. And other times you may not have been able to listen well, but now you can. But sometimes we do that and we say, oh, God just hasn't done that. I've waited on him to do it. Look closely. Some of the things that God is saying involve an action both of God and you. It's not like salvation. That's all of God. But sanctification, you're working it out. It's being worked out in your own life. And that's part of the reason why the serious Christian walk and life are like fighting an uphill battle. You're fighting in a battle while you're going uphill at the same time. If anybody knows about battles, the guy in the upper part always has the advantage. But if you're trying to do that, or like trying to swim upstream against a heavy current, it's hard. But that's part of the Christian life. The Christian life is not an easy life. I know you've heard that 1,000 times before. Maybe you already understand it. The Christian life is not an easy life. Every week, as we deal with sin in our own life, as we deal with the struggles and the temptations that come upon us, we think, oh man, I wish this was easier. It's not going to be easy. It may get easier at times. And the way it gets easier is that we love God more, that we spend more time with him, that we pray more, that we read his word more. There's a lot involved in that. There really is. People say, "Ah, it's reading words, God, it's praying." These are the things that you need in your life. We talked about the full armor of God last week when Nathan was preaching for us. These are things that we need to do. It's like fighting an uphill a battle as we're going uphill. It's not easy to be good. In fact, the Lord teaches us there's nobody good. It's not even to be semi-good. To be a solid and responsible and reasonable Christian in an evil, shallow, and uncontrollable, unaccountable world. Well, let me not say unaccountable. They're accountable to God, but it seems that nobody's accountable to one another that much. Rid yourself of all that is still in your life. Listen to this now, especially you young people. Rid yourself of all that is still in your life that God would find, and you know what God would find, filthy. That God would find wicked. That God would find sinful. As these things are the very hurdles that hold you back. They're what are holding you back in your further movement in your Christian walk. If we love Christ, we want to love Him more. We want to draw closer. Well, the thing that's holding us back is our own sin. It's our own wickedness. The last part of verse 21, which speaks of the implanted or engrafted part. The Word of God here is designated as implanted, which we should understand simply as the Word that falls into the human heart upon upturned soil. And for those who are farmers or pretend to be farmers here, that is made ready, not by your doing, but by the Holy Spirit. He is the one that makes us ready to receive that Word. This Word then roots itself and so transforms the soil that it produces a beautiful Christ-like character in any of the Christians who are walking steadily in Christ. Paul refers to this as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. It is when we see this in the life of the man or woman of God that we see the full earthly result of this implanted Word of God and the full and the final salvation of the Christian we see as a certainty. Simply stated, as one writer puts it, the Word rooted in his heart is able to save his soul. Word rooted in his heart, and I'm speaking the Word of God. 22 says, but be... just want to stop for a second, see if you're paying attention. But be doers. Be doers of the Word, and not only hearers, deceiving yourself. Let me read that again. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. 1 Corinthians 3:18-20 says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, then let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is folly to God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. And he's speaking of the worldly wisdom here. 1 John 1:7, and going down to verse 10 reads, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us of all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did you catch that? He is able to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's for the people who think that they have been fully perfected and they make the assumption that they never sin. They're liars. But even before a person can be a doer of a word, again, he must first be a hearer. That was a listener of God's word. Before one can ever be effectual in proclaiming the word of God, one must first, at the very least, be striving to live what they have already learned, to live this out in their life. Not just a little bit, but to the best of your ability. Again, it's a hard walk. It's not easy, but there's a joy in it because we are serving the Lord. Hard work is often a wonderful thing. If you've ever worked really hard, I'm sure most of you have, you get something done, you go, wow, that's great. We are called to hard work in our Lord. The Christian life is a life that is to be lived. It's not just to be talked about around the table. Oh, I'm a Christian, yeah. But there's nothing different. Everything's the same. It's not just that. It's something that we live, that takes place not just on Sunday morning for the few hours we're gathered together. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, throughout the whole of your life. There's no vacation, nor should there be a desire for a vacation from the Christian life. That was like the one we read about in Deuteronomy. Well, it'll be okay. I'm good. No, you're not. We are to be doing that. Make sure as you examine yourself, and this is, by the way, this is a call to examine yourselves, even to where you're called to do this month to month, week to week, day to day. Make sure you are doers of the word and not merely hearers. Make sure you have heard that you have been more than just, I've heard that Jesus saves sinners, that He loves sinners. Make sure that you understand this, that this is put into action in your own life, that you have strived and you have begged to Christ and said, Christ, forgive me, I love you, I know my sin. And you remain aware of your sin, not so that you can feel low, but you can see the work that Christ is desiring to do as well as the work that Christ has already done. If you've been a Christian for 1 year even, there should be a difference in your life. If you've been a Christian for 10 years, there should be a marked difference in your life. If you've been a Christian for 30 years, and ow, that stings sometimes, there should be a very marked difference in your life. You should look back and you say, I don't even resemble that man. My wife often says, I'm glad I didn't meet you before I did, because I heard from others what you were like. That shows me that there's been a change in my life. And you should have those changes in your life. There are many who sit in churches, and I know I've said this before, they've sat through thousands of sermons in their life. They have heard the Word of God taught by the very best of teachers, and we have that available to us today. You don't have to travel. You just get on the internet, and you can pull up the best teachers in the world, and you can listen to them. Or they may be blessed enough to go to the church where there is, and let's be honest, there are some pastors who are better than other pastors. There are some teachers who are better than other teachers. But you can sit through the best of them. And still, they're only unsaved hearers of the word. They have not really heard in the deepest sense. It never really got through. It goes in one ear, it goes out the other. They leave the church the same way they entered the church. It never really gets to the heart. Now I say that because I've talked to people, mostly old people, who told me that they were raised in church, they went to church every week throughout their whole life. They listened to the Word of God. They thought they were saved. And then at one time in their life, while reading or listening to the Word of God again, the lights went on. And they realized their need for Christ as their Savior. And everything changed. Not saying that any are sitting here today. I know most of you. But this is the reality of how it really works. We do deceive ourselves at times. And I'm not calling you to question, go home today and later say, oh, I wonder if I'm really saved. I think you really know if you're really saved. If you've really put your trust in Christ, if you're really striving, if you're desiring to serve God in all your ways. But this is the reality of how it really is. Let's move on. 23 and 24. It continues on in this. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Kind of reminds me of the thing we saw in the teaching today. The man holds up the mirror to the guy and the guy sees that he's a fool. Well, in this case, it's you look in the mirror and you go, oh yeah, rather nice looking guy. Sometimes as we get older, it scares us because we look in the mirror, because during the day, if we're not near a mirror, we think of ourselves 20 to 25 years old. Young people, listen to me here. Remember this later in life, because you'll think about it and you'll go, oops, I'm doing that now. And then you walk in front of a mirror and you go, who's that? I actually did that one time while riding on a motorcycle. I looked into a storefront big window, one of those real ones that looked like a mirror, and I thought to myself, who's that old guy over there? It took me about a second and a half, and I said, oh, that's me. That's the old guy in the mirror. But this is how we can get at times. They look intently at themselves, and they go away, and at once forget what this is like. Matthew 7:24-27 reads this way, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And you remember that story. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. These men and women were self-deceived and ill-prepared, as it states here. They did not think things through. If you ever tried to build a building without some plans, it will not turn out that well. I tried that one time. Thankfully, my father was saying, well, we need to write this out and draw this out a little. It was just a shed. But I was trying to do it kind of just, oh, we'll just throw it together. It doesn't work. We need to have a plan. And God gives us the plan. God gives us the instructions on how to do it, to put it together right so it will stand. They're like the ones we just read. They see themselves in the mirror, but are always changing and never take a long enough look to see who they really are. Just a glance and off they go, as the writer puts it. Back into the world. They look at the Word of God and they love it while they look at it. But as soon as they turn their eyes from it, it's out of their mind altogether. They are out and about in their worldly lives, forgetting all that God had spoken until next week when they come in. Do you see the reason why we need to read our Bibles privately? We need to have times of family worship as God allots you those times. That you need to love the Word of God. That it's just not nice. You need to love the Word of God. We'll look at some more of this in verse 25 here. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Some versions read in all his doing. I'm not going to go into the whole thing of the perfect law of liberty, because that's another sermon altogether. But this picture, this one who looks at into what God has put before us, and he looks at this and he gives consideration to this and he acts upon it. This is the one who is blessed. One who looks intently, one who studies, one who contemplates or meditates, we use that word, and prays about these things as we read them. Romans 2:13 again says, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. verse 26 goes on and says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, and this is another sermon we're not going into today, but deceives his heart, this person's religious is worthless. Again, takes us back to this anger thing and the bridling of the tongue. This verse ties in well with chapter 3 and earlier on in this chapter, which we have all heard. We've all heard the sermons preached on the tongue of fire a number of times from a number of preachers. And it's always so very clear what it's saying. Be careful with this thing. It can be quite deadly at times. And again, that's another one of those especially timeless passages, those passages that we can look at time and time again, and they have a newness to them. And we always need to be reminded of this fact. We need to guard our tongue. Psalm 34, 13 through 14 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from good, evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Lots of instruction here, just in two little verses. That's enough to think about all week long by itself. Maybe I've given you too many verses this week, but I've just seen so many things that align here so well. Psalm 39, 1 says, speaking of Psalm of David, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. See how important he saw this to be. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle. How many of us thought of it in that way? Just our parents have told us, put your hand over your mouth. Not while you're speaking, though. Put your hand over your mouth. Just muzzle it in there. So long as the wicked ones are in my presence. Isaiah 5:24 says, therefore, as the tongue of fire devours the stubble, as the dry grass sinks down into the flame, so their root will be as rottenness, and their blossom go up like dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And lastly there, 1 Peter 3:10 says, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Again, do you hear it? You see the same thing being said again and again in different passages of both the Old and the New Testament. And then finally in verse 27 it says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this. To visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained of the world. Now there are three things it says there. To visit orphans, to visit widows, and to keep yourself unstained from the world. Visiting orphans, well, a lot of us don't know orphans and we don't have that many orphanages today, but there are ways to do that. So you can visit the orphans. A lot of us don't know many widows, but we have them. We have one among us, although she's not here today, but she is here. Visit them, because they're in need of that company. They're in need of that care. They're in need of that love of God that is expressed through others. And the last one is to keep oneself unstained. The first two are actually not that hard to do. That last one's hard. To keep yourself unstained from the world. The world is attacking. You are always under attack from Satan, from the world, and from your own flesh. You are under attack. So my friends, if then we hear these things and we intend on being Christians who both believe the Word of God and want to live it daily so that others might be able to see it being lived out in our lives. And again, I'm not talking about proclaiming the gospel with your life. You proclaim the gospel with your mouth, but the fact that you really believe what you proclaim is shown out in how you live your life. We must take the time, and we must give the care as to how we conduct ourselves, both publicly and privately. Remember, when you're publicly, everybody sees you in the world. When you're private, sometimes you think, no, well, God's always watching. We forget this sometimes. Even the best, longest-lived Christians forget, God is always watching us. He is always with us. And no matter what happens, you can always respond easily. You get angry, and I've been practicing at this. So when somebody does something, and some of you know my reaction sometimes, I just am able to say simply, to God be the glory. Basically, God knows what He's doing in that situation at that point in time. To God be the glory. Do I do it perfectly? Nope. Not at all. Do I think you're going to do it perfectly? Nope. Not at all. Once again, I'll take you to the bow and arrow. If you shoot the bow and arrow one time, you might hit the target. If you shoot it 10,000 times, you'll hit the bullseye many, many times. Practice does indeed make perfect in our lives. If we want to live our lives in such an intentional manner as to show others by our actions that we actually do believe what we are preaching, that it is in the heart, that we want to show that to them, then let us make it the great goal of our lives. And I said that, the great goal of our lives, not this week, but of your life, to work toward pleasing and honoring God more and more as each year, month and year passes us by. You may not, I know I don't always do as well as you would like in this, but we must never give up. We must always trust that the Lord, through His Word, will direct us, that it will give us that true wisdom, that godly wisdom that's necessary, that when we finally depart from this life, and by the way, just a reminder, young and old, you all will, and you don't know when, that there might be, well, many of those whose lives were changed, not only by your proclamation of the gospel to them, but by their seeing in your lives that the love for God was truly there, and the love for His ways was greater than your love for yourself or this world. I know I want to see it when I leave this world that I had some impact other than living, buying, and selling. That people heard the gospel preached to them. That although they might look at my life, and they may not know me as well as me, because if you knew me as well as me, you wouldn't be pleased. But they might say, He impacted me in this way, in drawing me closer to Christ or presenting the gospel to me. So I'm going to close with this. I have just a small challenge. Did you catch that? I have a small challenge to put before you this week for old people, for young people, for men and for women. And that is that you knowingly strive. Nobody likes that word because it means work, hard work. That you strive for one whole week to be very careful, to be most careful with all your words, and that during your times of Bible study, that you carefully listen to what God has to say to you, that you desire and you work toward being a doer of the Word of God, and not a hearer. And finally, that you understand that it is through this that God is working, and that this is nothing more or less than what God has called each one of you to in regards to this in His holy word. Let us now close with a word of prayer and thanking God for our salvation. Our Father God, again, we thank You for the blessings that You have given us. We thank You that we have seen the goodness just Your goodness in our lives when we clearly did not deserve it. We thank You that You have given us the ability to obey You. We know before we were saved we were incapable of anything but sin. And we know that now that we are still capable of sin, that we are incapable of doing that which is pleasing and honoring to You, that which is good in Your sight. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us, each of us, to work toward that. That we would work toward that this week, and then we would enjoy the process, even though it's hard, so much that we would try it again, and that we would try it again, and that we would keep trying it again and again, until it became like a good friend to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have commanded us to this, that you have called us to this, that you have promised that you're going to work this in our life. But we realize that there are things that we must do. And we pray, Lord, that one day when we too enter your presence, that we might look and we might understand these things, and that we might, each of us, be able to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we pray these things all in Christ's name, who is our Savior and our King forever. Amen. Let us turn in our Psalters to Psalm 148, Selection B. 148, Selection B. We're going to stand to sing. Or I'm sorry, 149. 149, Section B. We're going to stand and sing, and then we will remain standing for the benediction, and the doxology is just flipped over to 150, Selection A. Let's stand and sing praise.